Jack and Jill here.
Hi.
Welcome to the Jack Jill Show. Entertaining real estate investment talk. I'm Jack Butala.
And I'm Jill DeWitt, broadcasting from sunny Southern California.
Today, Jill and I talk about how Jill gets a rash when she sits back in coach. Coach seat rash.
I made this comment we were talking about, and I shared this funny story, and you're like, oh, we're gonna do a show about that. I'm like, oh boy. So when we get into the meat of the show, I will share where this came from. And
that's how our whole life goes. That's
what do you mean?
We should make a show.
So that's exactly true. We do that all the time, like over dinner and other odd situations.
This is a whole show right here. That's what we all say.
Exactly.
Before we get into the topic, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the jackjill.com online community. It's free.
Okay. I have the question, and then I have one of the answers here, too. This is cool. Reed J. asks, the numbers made me buy legally landlocked property. It's a double your money situation, although I could drastically increase the value with deeded access. Does anyone have any experience on obtaining legal access? Well, Jason L. responded, I am following this because my wife and I want to buy land in a specific area on water. It has been platted, but the developer stopped building in 2009. We love the area, but we don't know how to get to the property unless by boat.
Okay. I chose these questions for serious real estate reasons, because we are going to talk about the rash that Jill gets while she sits on the back of the airplane.
Okay.
But first.
Okay.
Both of these things, lack of access and water access only, are incredible attributes to a select few people.
Right.
So you know how when you look into internet marketing, the first thing they say is, what's different about you? I know you're going to market something. Jack, what the heck's different about the way that you buy and sell real estate? Well, we buy rural vacant land, first of all, and no one else does. Mm-hmm. So to get really niche-y is almost always a real positive thing.
True.
Am I saying run around and go buy landlocked property and celebrate? No, you don't want to do that. However, what intrigued me about this question or this comment is, the numbers work, right? So obviously he's buying some property from somebody who believes that they can't get to it, which is never the case. You can always get to it.
That's my point too. He does say legally landlocked. He didn't say physically. That to me says, I probably looked at it on the map and found a road, which I do all the time. And then I'm like, oh, this is great. Yeah. So I know we can get there. We got that done.
Exactly. So does anybody have, he's asking, does anybody have any experience obtaining legal access? So here's my whole point. Is that the business you want to be in? Dealing with the city, calling other people who own property, trying to get an easement, a legal easement, and then get it recorded and do all. Are you a developer?
Spending all the time.
Or a general contractor? Or you are a bird dog buying and selling real estate when you know you can double your money selling it the way that it is? Disclosing that you know now because that's just lack of legal access. You know about it because you looked into it.
Yeah. And you could double his money already.
What would you do?
I would not do that. I would double my money, say, here's the situation, here's the phone numbers and where to call, if he even has it already. If not, I wouldn't even, don't bother getting
it.
That's
what I would do.
And then flip it and run.
Because that's the business I'm in.
Because that's it. I mean, that's the whole point, Reed. That's the way Jack and I are. I don't want to maximize profit on every one property.
That's
because
it. You nailed it.
The extra 4 hours or 4 days I spend on it, I could have sold a lot more property in that time. That's the business I want to be in.
We all grew up in a culture for some reason where maximizing revenue on a real estate transaction, that person wins.
Right.
Oh, I got the last dollar out of the house that I sold, you know, my parents' house, when I got the last dollar. I sold that property for the highest on the block.
Right.
Everybody, including me, for a long time. That's what so it takes you 2 years to do that.
Right.
What did you really get?
Exactly.
If you're in the real estate business like us, you could have turned 50 properties in that time if you would have sold it for $20,000 less than the actual market value.
Dude, I have a family member doing this right now.
Yeah.
Hanging out for price. And now we're going on, it's already been 6 months. Okay, since 6 months of payments on a property because you're holding out for price, at what point do you realize, wait a minute, the money I make because I held up this price, I lost because it took me a year to sell it. Hello, do the math. Well, I don't understand. Why do people not do math?
I don't think it's math. I just think that they're not really, no one's ever said what we just said.
Yeah. Okay,
there are some people.
A $2,000 mortgage to
times 12 months is $24,000. Okay, let's think about this. Okay, I mean, and you're holding out to make $20,000 more on the asking price. Did you make any money? No, actually, yeah, you waited there and you lost money.
Even if you own the asset free and clear, I would argue just get it done.
Right.
There's
That's
always
even more of a reason to get it done.
Especially if you're in a group like this, or you know, where you're very capable of buying inexpensive property and then selling it.
Right.
So let somebody else do that.
Mm-hmm. So then this guy, was it really, I think, I don't know if it was a response, what Jason said about buying on water.
You're right.
I think it was more like, hey, I'm asking a question too, because I want something like that. You know, how do you, so.
So the response was, I'm following this because my wife and I want to buy land in a specific area on the water. And it's platted, but the developer stopped in 09. So it's undeveloped land that's been subdivided. Then you only can get a boat to it, according to this.
Because they didn't get that far.
The greatest piece of property there ever was. And I'm not blowing smoke here. There are people who would love to only be able to get to a piece of property by boat.
That's pretty cool. There's a lot of fishermen, campers. They don't want to be found. I had property in particular, like in Oregon that I had.
Right, remember that?
Mm-hmm. And they loved it. It was the coolest thing on the planet. There was a bridge, maybe. I remember that. Like, very south of it, we were real confused about the access. When you could get there by boat. And they thought that was the bomb.
You can work anywhere with the internet the way it is, so... You can build a little shack. And
I like that.
Me
by
too.
The way, too. By the way, there's one for you and me personally. We have a vacation destination that we brag about because you can only get there by boat. You cannot get there any other way. There's no airport.
It's the same thing.
There's no road. And it's in deep Mexico, and we love this place, and we want it to stay that way.
Right.
So
please don't say the name of that.
I won't say it.
I love that little island.
I know. It's not even an island. It's a piece of the...
Is it a peninsula?
Yeah. It's a piece of it. You just can't get to it because of the jungles and stuff are so deep. It's just no other way.
Today's topic, coat seat rash. Just like saying it.
Oh, my gosh.
This is the meat of the show.
So I heard this line or somebody was saying something years ago. We were having a discussion, and I was talking to this individual about it, and it hit me. They were trying to talk about or planning a trip or something, and I said, wait a minute. Are you basically just trying to say that the seats in coach give you a rash? And the person went, yes. And I'm like, really? Oh, boy. I'm like, what a snob, you know, or whatever it was. It was so darn funny. Well, fast forward to now, and now I understand what that means. I really do. You reach a point in your life, and you know, this topic is really not about flying first class all the time, although that's important.
It's not. It's not for me either.
It's about getting to a point in your life where you just don't mess with those details. You're not going to spend the time or the money to try to save a little bit of money, let's just say, to inconvenience yourself for something. It's not worth it. You know, it's really
Do you rationalize it, or just is this over now? Like, when you book a ticket, because we haven't flown coach, and I don't...
Yeah, I don't do that anymore.
Yeah. Yeah. Do you even think about it?
No, I don't.
I don't either.
No, it's funny. I do compare first class tickets, though. I go, oh, it's first class is cheaper over here than it is over here. I look at that.
So, you mean on different airlines?
Yeah. And the ones that I have, I have access to their clubs and stuff like that. Yeah. I look at that because that's important to me, too. If I have any downtime, I have a place to go and work or something.
I used to say, well, I don't have a car payment, so...
No, I don't do that.
I don't need any more.
You know what I justify? I earned this. That's exactly... No, and I'm serious. I work really hard. You do too.
I know.
It's not crazy. So, and it's like I said, it goes to other things. It's not just about that, but it is about... I want to get on when I want to get on. I want to relax. I want to be comfortable. I might be working while I'm on the plane.
Yeah, I don't want to talk to anyone.
Yeah, that's true. It's nice to not talk to a lot of people and just get and then be the first off and get where I want to go.
Yeah.
You know, that's it. So, you know, now, so the next thing is, Jack, do you want to be jet rich? I mean, we can say that at any point.
As long as it makes sense from a tax standpoint, I'm all for it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you sit there and you look at the situation and you say, I know this seems extravagant to the world, but I'm either going to pay the IRS in tax or I'm going to fly around in a... You know,
that's true.
It doesn't ever make sense to own a jet, but to do a jet share situation, possibly. So, and if I sit down with the accountant and we start down that path...
Which we're going to meet them again in March...
then that's then I think it's okay. Uh-huh. But I think it's okay to take after-tax money and personally fly first class to like Japan, where it costs $35,000. Mm-hmm. No, I don't think that's okay.
Right.
But I think if there's a tax advantage, yes, it's okay. I don't care how much money you have. I think doing something like that is not a good idea.
I got to share something funny. Well, I think I shared it recently on, I don't know if I shared the whole story on one of our shows a while back, but when I had to take that trip and I missed the flight and I had the, you know, the five ducklings behind me.
Yeah.
The first thing I did after I did the best I could and got on the next flight and I had to sit there and wait, you better believe I was on the phone with NetJets and I was on the phone with everybody at that moment going, we got to talk. So, hey, so Jack, fair warning. I've already started those conversations.
I know you have.
Because anybody with me here, you know, one missed flight too many and it's not your deal. Now you're like, all right, this might be worth it. And by the way, the prices are coming down. It used to be.
Why is that?
Isn't that interesting?
Is it fuel?
It's just changed. Well, and
I'm shocked at how cheap it is.
Maybe.
Like, number three is flying to Australia here soon, and it was $1,500 round trip.
Exactly.
It used to cost $1,500 round trip to fly to Detroit from Phoenix.
Oh, yeah. You know, I remember that too. So it's just in competition.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so it changes everything. So thank you. Well, you've done it again. Wasted another 15
minutes
listening to the Jack and Jill show. Join us tomorrow. We discuss how my personal assistant break-in period. You get to hear all about that.
And answer your questions. Should you have one, post it on the jackjill.com online community.
You are not alone in your real estate ambition. That's fun to talk about.
It's fun trading lines with you.
Oh, good. I like that. Can you do this last line?
I can.
Okay.
Share in the fun by subscribing on iTunes or wherever you're listening. And while you're at it, rate us there.
We are Jack and Jill.
Information
and inspiration
to buy undervalued property.